broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. Hope you all had an absolutely marvelous weekend full of God, family, and country-style activities. This is the broadcast for September 14th in the year of our Lord, 2015. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country in the traditions of our founders. It's incredibly simple. We believe in and use the supreme law of the land, also the checks and balances inspired by the Almighty put in place by our founders. Those are the solutions, ladies and gentlemen. Somehow people want to throw out the very solutions that could save our nation. Welcome to the broadcast. We believe in restoration, not revolution. A quick recap of Friday's broadcast. We talked with Kevin Blake, well-known talk show host, Restore the Republic radio talk show. We talked about this freed Kentucky clerk, Kim Davis, will be returning to work this morning. We talked about the second Republican debate. Carly Fiorina makes the cut. They say they changed the rules and now 11 take the stage on Wednesday night. CNN announces Republican candidates lineup for 2016 debate. They changed the rules for Carly. Former Hillary Clinton's staffer, Brian Pagliano, he comes to Congress to plead the Fifth Amendment. If that doesn't tell you something, I don't know what does. We also talked about Hillary Clinton says she'd love to debate the Donald. I'd like to watch that. 9-11, basically now, they claim it's like a federal holiday, which I don't understand because the mail came. They call it Patriots Day, and sadly, just 6 days after, coming up September 17th, is Constitution Day. Why we largely ignore Constitution Day but promote Patriots Day. Now, listener TZ emailed in a very historically accurate, detailed reality on Patriots Day. Bottom line is that Patriots Day used to be April the 19th, and now they're kind of moving it to 9-11. And anyway, we can get into some of that, but TZ is exactly right. Great point for bringing that up. I had forgot about all that. Anyway, we'll get into that in more detail. 9-11 White House emails capture history in all its chaos, says the headline by Peter Baker, New York Times. But it isn't true because they say the emails, down in the story, they say the emails released by the Bush Library in response to an open records request by the New York Times are incomplete. The library is operated by the National Archives and Records Administration, is still withholding the vast majority of messages sent on September 11th, 2001. And they say, oh, you can't release them because of national security. Then when guys like me say, I don't believe the official story, this just fuels the fire, huh? Brian Williams is going to return to TV news on MSNBC September the 22nd. That's all we need is Brian back, huh? New York becomes the first state in the union to mandate $15 wages for fast food workers. And on the trail, Marco Rubio has missed more votes than any other senator, says USA Today. He's not taking his senatorial duties seriously now, is he? Trump is slamming Ben Carson. I say, isn't that the kettle calling the pot black? And somebody else said to me, Sam, isn't that a racial statement? And my response is, no, I wasn't taking into consideration the color of anyone. I was just merely saying that, what, they're having a battle about who has more faith? Like Trump's really faithful to God, and so he's going to criticize Ben Carson's faith? All right, good luck with that. Anyway, it was not a racial statement, ladies and gentlemen. But see, I can't make a statement like that because one of them happens to be black, and if I do that, it's a racial statement? See, race has nothing to do with it. I'm just saying Trump doesn't have any faith either. What's he talking about? But, of course, since someone's black, you can't say a statement like that because instantly you're a racist, huh? I would have said that if it was a white guy, too. Is it racist to change your monologue or your dialogue based on if someone's a different color, huh? That would be racist now, wouldn't it? School's out. Seattle teachers are having a heyday. They're staging the first strike in the last 30 years. They say they ain't getting enough money. What do you think of that? That was 1 hour of Liberty Roundtable Live. Hour two, we had our guest on, Rick Dalton from the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. He's the vice president of CSPOA.org. We talked about all lives matter. We talked about Ann Coulter after her immigration plan, or after Trump's immigration plan. She says, I don't care if Trump performs abortions. Now, I think the statement's a little bit misleading. I don't think she's saying abortion's fine. She's just saying how gaga she is about Trump's immigration plan. I'm not so bullish on the plan, by the way. Williams says homeschooling can be an effective school alternative by Walter Williams. Boy, do we agree with him on that one. Don't hate, educate. Don't complain, train. Those are the phrases the CSPOA is now starting to use. How much do you know about constitutional law? Asks Rick Dalton. Who is the greatest threat to the citizen, huh? Who is the biggest defender of the citizen? In both cases, cops are. We talked about the rainbow appearing over the Trade Center on the eve of 9/11. That was kind of an interesting sign, if you will. Listener TZ says, what about the cops that are ordered to write 3 tickets or more, in other words, a quota after every shift? What about those guys? It's called traffic ticket taxation. Police should strike and refuse to be used as redcoat tax collectors. Rick tripled down and agreed with listener TZ. Black cop Billy Ray Fields speaks out against police brutality. And then they had a big old rally over the weekend with Billy Ray Fields in Georgia. And a great event was had. So we covered that on Saturday on Tim Stark's radio broadcast. That's the recap of Friday's broadcast, still available online, on demand at your fingertips, on your Roku player. Look at the special interest section for the Liberty News Radio channel, and live and on-demand radio, free at your fingertips at libertyroundtable.com, with unique columnists and more available there as well. One of the columnists, Michael Connelly, well-known talk show host in his own right, Michael Connelly is also the executive director of the United States Justice Foundation. He's an incredible writer and attorney, a constitutional attorney, and he's also a guest on Liberty Roundtable Live. Welcome back, Michael.
Thank you, Sam. Good to be with you again.
Oh, man, there's so much to cover in the news really quick. It turns out that Rick Perry's already dropped out of the presidential race, sir.
Yeah, well, I expected that. Rick's campaign never got off the ground. He didn't have any money. He didn't have an organization, really. And so he's the first of many. They're going to start dropping like flies, I think, after this next debate coming up. But, it's going to be interesting. The problem is I don't think it matters who the Republican nominee is going to be. I don't think we're going to have a free election next year. I think we're looking at Obama running around right now doing a victory lap. He has basically shut down our constitutional republic. He did that with the help of the leadership, Republican leadership in Congress, when they voted on this Iranian deal. Number one, they abrogated the constitutional obligation of the Senate to approve a treaty. The Iranian deal is a treaty. It has always been a treaty. Obama can call it an executive agreement, but it's not. But Mitch McConnell and John Boehner said, okay, we'll let you call it an executive agreement, and we will amend the Constitution, even though we have no constitutional right to do that. We will amend the Constitution by saying that you can submit it to Congress for a vote, and if we vote it down, then you can veto that vote, and it'll take two-thirds of the Congress to override the veto. Now, let's look at Article 2. Section 2 of the Constitution, which sets up the congressional power, or the Senate power exactly, to pass by two-thirds majority to ratify any treaty signed by the President of the United States. The Congress basically said, we're going to abolish that part of the Constitution. We will let Obama submit his executive agreement. Then they go to Article 1, Section 7 of the Constitution, which allows the president to veto any legislation passed by Congress. Passed by Congress. That's the key. What they did with this amendment to the Constitution, which again was done illegally and unconstitutionally by the leadership of Congress, they said, okay, we will allow the president to do something that has never been done before, which the Constitution does not allow, which there is no legal precedent for. We will allow the president to veto a negative vote by Congress. Now, think about that. Veto a negative vote by Congress. They allowed the president to do that. They have set it up so that this president or any future president can now submit proposed legislation to Congress and say, okay, I want you to pass a bill, for example, outlawing the private ownership of firearms. Congress votes no. The president can then veto that no vote. And unless Congress can muster two-thirds of both houses...
In other words, they've manipulated it into a sphere and into a positioning statement to where the president has all the power. They've turned over the executive or the legislative branch to the executive branch. We'll talk about it. Michael Connolly, constitutional attorney, on your radio.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com. And order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, Michael Connolly, constitutional attorney, talk show host, and executive director of the United States Justice Foundation is on the radio. And he's basically telling you that, hey, you know what? The Congress is in bed with the president to circumvent the separation of powers. And it's the Republicans and the Democrats, it's insiders on both sides of the aisle that are simply manipulating events and actions so as to give the president virtually all the executive and legislative authority rolled into one. They marginalize themselves and kind of sit on the sidelines as they promote this president decides they vote up or down on something. But they've manipulated it to where he really holds all the cards instead of the other way around. It violates a serious check and balance, Michael Connolly.
Well, Absolutely. We have no check and balance anymore. We have no balance of powers. We have no Constitution. I mean, basically, the Constitution was carefully crafted. Fathers set up three branches of government, that each branch would be independent, and each branch would be able to check and balance what the other branches did. And the President of the United States basically was charged with enforcing the laws passed by Congress. It didn't say that the President could make new laws. It didn't say he could decide which laws to enforce and which not to. It didn't say the President could amend laws. Obama has done all of those. Obama has, you know, look at Obamacare. He's amended that 47 times on his own. He has made new laws. He has made gun control laws. He has had the EPA and other federal agencies go out and institute regulations, which are changing the laws of this country, making new laws. He's doing all of this, and Congress has done nothing to stop him. Now, when we elect-
In fact, to the contrary, they've done everything to really aid and abet the situation. In other words, they really allowed him by the way they position these things. Oh, it's a treaty. Oh, it's not. It's this. It's an executive action. It's an agreement. It's a, and they manipulated into changing the whole game in terms of what the approval requirements would be, right? They've aided his cause.
Exactly. And why has nobody in Congress, and I said this in an article on my website recently about, it was a letter, veterans open letter to Congress. And I said, look what you're doing by passing this treaty with Iran. Look what you're doing to the Constitution. And look how you're violating your oath of office. Because a member of the military, I took an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. The members of Congress take the same oath. The President takes the same oath. Yet, and there are, by the way, federal criminal penalties for violating that oath. Yet the members of Congress openly violated that oath when they told the President, okay, we're going to amend the Constitution and allow you to introduce legislation into Congress as a executive agreement, not as a treaty as required by the Constitution. And then we're going to allow you to introduce it so that we can only vote it down or pass it. And if we vote it down, then you can veto that negative vote. That's exactly the opposite of what the Constitution says. You cannot amend the Constitution by executive agreement. You cannot amend the Constitution by Congress just saying we're going to amend it. Congress has to pass amendments by two-thirds majority of both houses, and then it has to be submitted to the state legislatures around the country, and three-fourths of them have to ratify the amendment.
Which none of those things have been done. Now, here's the important part to understand. A lot of people believe that treaties can amend or can supersede or equal the Constitution, but it isn't true. The only treaties that can be passed in the first place are those which recognize the Constitution as the supreme law, and only those that do not violate the Constitution can even be passed in the first place.
Exactly. In 1957, the United States Supreme Court ruled that no treaty, even if signed by the President and ratified by Congress, can supersede the constitutional rights of Americans.
Yes. And the logic is clear. If it could disrupt or replace the supreme law, there is no supreme law about it.
Exactly. And, you know, the Constitution is clear. The Supreme Court has ruled that you cannot supersede the Constitution. Yet now not only do we have this Iranian treaty doing it, we have the UN Small Arms Treaty. Now, nobody can deny that that's a treaty, because it's called a treaty. The United Nations calls it a treaty. Excuse me.
In other words, everybody calls it a treaty except for the United States representatives.
Yeah, because it has never been submitted to the Senate for ratification. It was signed months ago by John Kerry, but it's never been submitted to the Senate for ratification. Why not? Because the White House has sent out the word that, well, you know what? We don't think that that's what the Constitution really means. The President can go ahead and enforce the treaty, and if the Senate wants to stop him from enforcing it, then they can pass a resolution stopping him by a two-thirds majority. But the Constitution does not really require that the Senate ratify the treaties. That turns the Constitution on its head. that defies everything that's in the Constitution, every legal precedent set for the last 250 years, yet he's getting by with it again. Because they had this meeting in Mexico last week where they were all representatives of countries from around the world met, including representatives from the United States, met to decide how to enforce this UN treaty and come up with enforcement mechanisms. We don't know what they are because they're being kept secret, but I can tell you what they are. One of the requirements of this treaty, and I said this from the beginning because I read the treaty when it first came out, was proposed. I warned about it then. I said one of the requirements of this treaty is that the United States register all private gun owners and turn over the list of their names and addresses to the United Nations. And this has to be done under the terms of the treaty. Then we are going to be limited in the amount of ammunition we can buy. We're going to be, it's going to be outlawed for us to buy weapons from other countries. For example, Obama's already by executive order said that the South Koreans cannot sell to the American citizens the M1 carbines and M1 Garands that they were given after World War II and during the Korean War. And these are collector's items. I would love to have one. My dad, who fought World War II, and I read the best-selling book about his unit called The Mortarman, he carried an M1 carbine. I'd love to have an M1 carbine from World War II. I can't buy one because the President of the United States says, no, we're not going to allow South Koreans to sell these off in the United States. So executive orders by the President are already enforcing the Small Arms Treaty. And where's Congress? Nothing. We are hearing nothing out of the Senate. We're hearing nothing out of Mitch McConnell, nothing out of John Boehner in the House, nothing out of anybody. They are, again, allowing the President to supersede the Constitution, to declare it irrelevant, and to act as a dictator. And, you know, it's just becoming horrific in this country what's happening.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the leaders of the United States met in Mexico. And what we're talking about is several issues here. The Iran nuclear deal, is it a treaty? The answer is yes. Are they going about it like a treaty? The answer is no. Are they circumventing the Constitution? Yes. But they had a meeting in Mexico, and a headline, believe it or not, from Reuters says this. Mexico expects agreement on arms trade treaty. Fine print at meeting. Dateline Cancun, Mexico. And they go into, they had this basically meeting, and they say signatories of a major treaty aimed at regulating the international arms trade. Well, they've agreed on a number of steps for its implementation. So even in the Reuters news service, they're calling it a treaty. But not in the United States. At least not by government officials. Where's Rand Paul and everybody else to howl to the high heavens about this, huh? All right, Michael Connelly, our guest. Liberty Roundtable in seconds.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com. Or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life,
your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called vigor. Would you like to improve your vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free vigor score test today.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
So here's the bottom line is the headline for the mainstream press. Reuters said Mexico expects agreement on arms trade treaty, fine print at meeting. The problem is you got to change that word expects to what? Accomplished, Michael Connelly?
Well, you have, you know, you go back to the principles set forth in the Constitution. The treaty, any treaty signed by the president, must be submitted to Congress, to the specifically the United States Senate, for ratification by two-thirds of the members of the Senate before it can be enforced. Now, we have two treaties out there right now. We have the Iranian treaty, which they're not calling a treaty, and which the leadership of Congress, Republican leadership, has gone along with and said, okay, we'll allow you to not call it a treaty. You can submit as executive agreement. And if we vote it down, you can override the veto, which violates the Constitution. We've already gone over that. But now you have the UN Small Arms Treaty, which is clearly a treaty. Everybody calls it a treaty. Yet the President of the United States is refusing to submit it to the United States Senate, saying that I can enforce this treaty, that the Constitution does not mean what it says, and I don't have to abide by the Constitution because Congress has already told me that I don't have to abide by it, and the Supreme Court has told me I don't have to abide by it. So I'm not going to abide by the Constitution. I'm going to start enforcing this treaty.
All right. Pete is in Minnesota. He wants to talk about why it's not being why Congress doesn't recognize the proper role of the Constitution, etc. Michael Connelly is a constitutional attorney. Pete, I want you to go ahead and make your comment succinct and let Michael Connelly respond. Go ahead, Pete. Sorry, go ahead. Wow, we can't understand Pete here. That's weird. Don't know why here. All right, now try this. Okay, go ahead, Pete.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yep, start now. Sorry about that.
I'm sorry. We're under a state of emergency, and that means that Congress is going to confirm everything the president does, so he can basically do anything he wants. And there's nothing to, I mean, everything that they're doing is just for show. Oh, Congress stands up and vetoed, but the president vetoed it, and it's just opposing for the cameras is all it is, because they had a chance to lift that state of emergency many, many times, and they didn't do it. And that's why things are happening the way they're happening. You might want to call your congressman and tell him, look, you guys need to get together and lift that state of emergency because we sent you there to do something for us, not sit around and confirm everything this idiot, you know, deems, you know, they're all going for the United Nations. They hold the United Nations above the United States.
All right. So, thanks for your comments, Pete. Let's have Michael Connelly respond. He's basically saying, look, we've been under a state of an emergency for a long time. They've never lifted that state of emergency. That puts America in a situation where the president can do whatever he wants. Some also say, you know what, due to corporate law and stuff like that, we've turned the United States into a corporate nation and people by contract agree to all these things. And so it's a different legal venue, et cetera, et cetera. What do you say to those arguments, Michael?
Well, none of that really applies because of the fact that we have to go back to the Constitution. The Constitution is the supreme law of the land. The Constitution doesn't authorize anything like a state of emergency. The Constitution doesn't set us up as a corporation. The Constitution sets us up as a constitutional republic. And whatever the president.
So the point is, some of those things may be happening, but constitutionally there's no authorization. So it's basically considered pretend legislation or the color of law. It isn't reality.
Yeah, exactly. None of that is reality. The reality is that we have to look at what the Constitution says and look at what it authorizes and doesn't authorize. And the Constitution, and this is what our kids are not being taught, and that's why I've written this little booklet called Our Constitution, where I take each article, each section, each amendment of the Constitution, and I put them in the pamphlet as originally written, and then I put in my comments about what they originally mean. Because our kids are not being taught that the Constitution was set up as a supreme law of the land and was to limit the federal government. It established the federal government, but put very strict limitations on the federal government. And it did it in the body of the Constitution. It did it through the amendments. The federal government has limited powers. Most of the powers were supposed to be retained by the states and by the people.
And even the Constitution, which derived its inception from the Declaration of Independence, really, the Declaration of Independence basically claims that, hey, we the people have to give consent, and if we as a whole don't give consent, hey, it's over. And so we got to be really careful that we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater here. Some people want to secede from the Union. Some people want to, take care of all these extreme things with Article 5 conventions or a con, if you will. What they don't understand is, yeah, we have the ability to break the bonds that tie us to another. But why would we do that when the solution is within the supreme law already? In other words, the seeds to solutions are already there, put together by the founders. We've already been down this road of revolution and complete independence and starting over. And the Constitution, when we obeyed it, worked. We have a historical reality of that. Why would we want to toss it out and look for other solutions that may not have near the track record the supreme law has? So that's what people don't seem to understand, Michael.
Well, exactly. They don't understand it because, you know, I keep talking about the speeches I make all around the country and on my radio show, one of the interviews that I do. I talk about the fact that if you don't know what your rights are, then you're not going to recognize when they're being taken away from you. And that's where we stand right now with so many Americans as far as their understanding of the Constitution. During the Revolutionary War, you had one-third of the colonists supporting the revolution, supporting independence from Great Britain. You had one-third of the colonists who wanted to stay with their allegiance to Great Britain. They wanted to stay part of the British Empire. Then you had one-third of the colonists who supposedly were neutral. A lot of them wanted to just be able to sell goods to both sides in the conflict. What we have now in this country is basically one-third of the American people who are constitutionalists, who want to defend our Constitution, one-third of the American people who want to destroy our Constitution. These are the Obama supporters and the Bernie Sanders supporters and the Hillary supporters. And then, unfortunately, you have a third of the people of this country who don't even know we have a Constitution.
And they don't really care either way.
Right, exactly. You know, they don't know what their rights are, so they don't understand that their rights are being taken away from them. And that's what we have happening in this country. Why didn't a United States senator step forward and sue the President of the United States to force him to submit the UN Small Arms Treaty to the United States Senate? for ratification. Why didn't a U.S. senator step forward?
Or better yet, why didn't they just impeach the president for pretending he can create treaties on his own?
Yeah, well, the president has violated his oath of office so many times that according to the legislation out there, if you violate your oath to protect and defend the Constitution, in prison for each violation up to 1 year and fined up to $10,000. As I calculate it right now, the President of the United States owes us about 417 years in jail. You know, I took that oath. I abide by that oath. I believe in that oath. In my article, which is, by the way, people can access my articles by going to Michael Connelly, Connelly.jigsy.com. I point out in my article that I took that oath voluntarily, and that despite the fact that, you know, I was in the military for 13 years and then was no longer in the military, that oath never went away. Nobody ever told me that I could abolish that oath or that oath no longer applied to me. It still applies to me. It will always apply to me. Yet President of the United States and members of Congress are saying that oath doesn't mean anything, that they can violate that oath anytime they want to. Why hasn't any member of Congress sued the president to say you cannot submit a so-called executive agreement to Congress, which is clearly a treaty, and I was talking about the Iranian treaty, and tell the Senate we cannot vote on it. And the Senate has no right to agree not to vote on it. Yet nobody's done that. And the United States Justice Foundation at usjf.net, people can find out what we're doing. We've told members of Congress, we will represent you. We will represent you for free. We will act as your attorneys. We will fight this for you. Step forward. Somebody do it. But, you know, I've been talking about this for 6 years, because when Obama took office, he started appointing czars. Now, you know, all of the Constitution requires that any appointment made by the President of the United States must be approved by a majority vote in the Senate, unless the Senate agrees specifically that a particular appointment does not have to be approved. Yet Obama was allowed to appoint 4 or 5 czars with their own agencies, their own powers.
In other words, they almost have judge, jury, and executioner all wrapped up in that czar, and Congress sat by and did nothing. Once they got Republican control or increased control, they still did nothing, but they continue it to enable Barack Obama. The Iran nuclear deal is a treaty, don't let them lie to you. And global leaders obtain agreement on the UN arms trade treaty at the meeting in Mexico with fine print underlying the details.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. Politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
So bottom line, by hook or by crook, they're going to push forward, ladies and gentlemen, the Iran nuclear deal and the UN arms trade treaty. Look out for that small arms trade treaty, folks. Big trouble. All right, let's move along. Michael Connelly, our guest. And Kim Davis is in the news. And it turns out Kentucky County Clerk Kim Davis will not stop or authorize marriage licenses. And believe it or not, the Kentucky Clerk case is dividing religious people everywhere. Some say, you know, good for her. It's the case we ought to rally around. Others say, no, you can't rally around this case at all because it's bad. It'll divide everybody. It's not the right line in the sand because she must do her job. The debate rages on. I personally think that Kim cannot be forced, morally speaking, to violate her conscience and sign or do anything. So the battle's on. Kim's back at work. The government says licenses for gays will go forward. Kim says, I'm not going to tamper with that because the judge said not to, but I'm not going to sign them. And without my signature, they are not authorized. Does it divide religious liberty advocates? What if she doesn't authorize them? Are they legal? And the debate rages on. There's really an issue that supersedes Kim Davis. And that issue, Michael Connelly, is that there's a battle between the federal government and the states right now where there's conflicting ideologies here. Now, they would say, well, there's conflicting laws, but the federal government has not passed a law. There's no law. There's just a court manipulative activist judicial decision. That doesn't mean it's the law, Michael.
Well, people don't understand that a decision by the Supreme Court of the United States does not become the supreme law of the land if it supersedes the Constitution. Now, in the Constitution of the United States, marriage is never mentioned. There's nothing in there about marriage. There's nothing in the amendments about marriage. The founders of this country didn't see marriage as something that was under the scrutiny of the federal government. They didn't even really see it as under scrutiny of the states.
And the only time the federal government and or the states even got involved is when they didn't want black people marrying white people, and so they created all kinds of laws relating to that, right?
Right, exactly. And, you know, those laws were struck down, and rightly so, because basically the government should not be involved in marriage. That was left as a matter for the churches to decide.
Yeah, the government pulled the racist card, didn't they? They were racist.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But, you know, what you have is a situation where the Constitution does not mention marriage, yet the Supreme Court, and I say the Supreme Court, five justices, five unelected lawyers, came forward and said, well, we're going to impose our will. Obama can do it, so we can do it. We're going to change the Constitution. We're going to find stuff in the Constitution that doesn't exist. And we're going to legalize gay marriage.
But they don't have any authority, and all they render is opinions. They don't have any legislative making authority.
Exactly. They rendered an opinion, and now people like Kim Davis are being told, well, you have to violate your oath of office, because state officials take the same type of oath that federal officials take, and that I took as a member of the military, to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Now they're telling these elected officials in the states you have to violate your oath of office and obey the Supreme Court of the United States. That's not the way it works. Their oath is not to the Supreme Court. Their oath is not to the president. Their oath is not to Congress. I never took an oath that said, I will obey and do whatever I will, you know.
I will obey an opinion.
Right. I will obey an opinion, or my loyalty is to an individual, or my loyalty is to a group. I never took an oath that said that. Tim Davis never took an oath that said that. We took an oath that said we will obey the Constitution. The Constitution says nothing about marriage, period, much less gay marriage. And the Supreme Court is saying, oh, well, you know, five justices, we decide we're going to impose our own political will on the country. We're going to legalize gay marriage. They can't do it. It's not the supreme law of the land. We have to go back to our roots. We have to go back to the Constitution. We have to go back to say, okay, this is our Constitution. This is what we obey. We do not owe loyalty to the President of the United States, to the Supreme Court, to the Congress, to Mitch McConnell or John Boehner. We owe our allegiance to the Constitution, period, end of subject.
What do you think is going to happen on the showdown between Kim and this judge?
Well, I think it's already been resolved at this point. Basically, she is not going to put her name on the certificates. And so that was basically what she was asking for. And if she doesn't interfere with her subordinates issuing these marriage licenses, I don't think the judge is going to do anything else. But the problem is that she is abdicating her responsibility, essentially, to sign off on marriage licenses or refuse to sign off on. Now, I can see where she's coming from. I mean, you know, she's got her name removed from it. So the judge,
you're breaking up quite a bit. Move to a better spot if you can, Michael.
Huh?
You're breaking up a bit. Move to a better spot if you can.
Oh, okay. I don't know why I'm breaking up, except we've had some interference.
So what if she just never signs those things? The debate is they're not valid, but the judge says they are because I said so.
Yeah, well, I agree they're not valid. You know, I think under Kentucky law, they're not valid. Eventually, the state legislature in Kentucky is going to have to act here. And it's not in session. It's not going to be in session for 4 months. So they're going to have to act here. But in the meantime, you have, again, a situation where a federal judge is being given control of the law in a state. And that is not constitutional. Federal judges should not be able to control what states do. That's not the way the Constitution was written. That's not what the Constitution is designed to do. The Constitution set up a limited federal government. There are certain things they can do. There are a lot more things they cannot do under the Constitution. Yet we have the President, the Congress, and the federal courts saying that we are the supreme law of the land. We can do whatever we want. The states are obsolete. Individual liberties are obsolete. We are the supremes. And that's what Obama has done. And that's why he's running a victory lap right now, because he's been told by the federal government by the Congress he can do it. He's been told by the courts he can do it. And let me say one more thing here, Sam. Friday was the 14th anniversary of the attacks on 9/11. For the first time since then, the President of the United States took no notice of that anniversary. He did not appear anywhere. He did not go to New York for the commemoration services. He did not go to Pennsylvania. He did not go across the river to the Pentagon for the ceremonies. He did not issue a formal White House statement on 9/11. He tweeted a picture of himself. That's it. That is rubbing our faces into the dirt, telling the American people, I am a Muslim, I am proud of being a Muslim, I am proud of what happened on 9/11, the rest of you can basically go to hell. And that's what the President of the United States was saying specifically to the American people last Friday. And nobody seems to realize that. He was rubbing our faces in the dirt. He was siding with the Muslims. That's why we're not fighting.
And the truth is, if we let this small arms treaty stand, if we let this nuclear deal with Iran stand, if we let this federal judge violate states' rights, and if we let them force Kim, there's no law. Show us the law. If we allow these things to stand, what we're really going to do is allow Christianity and Christians to be persecuted all over this country. The persecution will ratchet up, Michael.
Oh, yeah, it's ratcheting up right now. I mean, you know, take the Orlando Airport in Orlando, Florida, one of the busiest airports in the world because of the people going to Disney World. Orlando Airport has voted, the board of directors has said, you know, we don't have enough money to spend on a USO lounge in this airport for the veterans and for the active duty military. But more important than respecting our military members and respecting our country, we are going to set up a special area for Muslim prayers. Excuse me. So that's where we stand. That's where our country's going.
All right, what can the American people do? Obviously, going to your website, usjf.net, is a great way to go to keep up on what's happening and what the U.S. Justice Foundation is working on. They can go ahead and contribute if they want to donate and help that cause. That's a wonderful thing. They can get your booklets, Our Constitution, and share them with everybody so they can get a handle on what the reality is with the Constitution from an educational point of view. If there's one thing the American people could do, what would it be? What would you suggest?
Well, they have to educate their friends and neighbors and children about what the Constitution is. And they have to contact their members of Congress. And many people are doing this as a result of that recent article I wrote. And they're contacting their members of Congress and demanding that you obey the Constitution. Congress will react to pressure. And if enough people come out and contact their members of Congress and say, we demand that you obey the Constitution, and that you defend the Constitution, and that you force a vote on the Iranian treaty, you force a vote on the UN treaty, then, you know, we can win this.
What we lack is enough Americans to united make a push, Michael.
Exactly.
All right, my friend, thank you so much. Godspeed. We're flat out of time. We'll chat soon.
Sounds good, Sam. Thank you.
There he goes, Michael Connelly, doing a great job. Ladies and gentlemen, we the people can restore America, but it takes enough of us to work together. This nation shall endure. Liberty Roundtable.com.